This seems to be the, hey, there we go. The big issue of when I come up here is trying to figure out the microphone. So I am going to talk a little bit, just give a brief foundation. I know those of you that are in Sunday school are being given a foundation of prayer, but I believe the Lord's placed it on my heart to give a foundation for prayer and then actually go into prayer this morning, because as leadership we've been talking about praying and the importance of prayer. And if you walk away with nothing else this morning, have understanding that everybody in the room, and I don't care what your foundation is, I don't care what your level is in the Lord, your prayers are effectual.
Amen.
This body of Christ, don't look at numbers right now. Don't look at anything else, but look at yourselves and what the Lord's calling you to pray in to or pray for, because we are a praying church. And the prayers of the righteous, and we're not righteous in our own accord, but we're righteous because of Christ Jesus in us. The prayers of the righteous do availeth much. Okay, and sometimes you may not seem to think that your prayers are having an impact or effect, but if you pray in the pattern of how the Lord has taught us to pray, and I'm sure you've talked about a little bit with the Lord's Prayer, it's not a prayer just to be repeated. As some of the denominations we got into, our Father who art in heaven, you have to really have an understanding of what that Lord's Prayer, Jesus was teaching us how to pray.
Yes.
And in doing so, he was teaching us that those prayers were going to be answered. But everybody in the room has the ability to pray. If you can do nothing else, you have the ability to pray as the body of Christ, and our prayers are going to move people's lives, are going to move cities, are going to move nations, if we have that understanding. And I want to give a quick introduction. I'll run through this real quick, and then I'm actually going to go into prayer. But the principle is pray in faith, believing.
Yes.
Pray in faith, believing. You can't come to the throne room of God and say, God, I'm going to start to petition you, but I don't believe you're going to answer me. There's people that pray that way. You have to pray in faith, believing. Secondly, you have to pray specifically. It's not some ritual that we go in and say something repetitively over and over and over again with no meaning. We pray in faith, believing. We pray specifically, not just a ritual prayer, and meeting the conditions of a loving Heavenly Father, Daddy God, is going to respond. You have to understand that and believe that. If you pray believing, you pray specifically, Daddy God is going to respond. It's a law in operation. I'm not talking about a law like Old Testament, we have to do this, this, and this. It's the law. I'm talking about it's his law in operation. We do, and his law says it's going to come to pass. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, and we've talked about this scripture, 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, so they shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, then hear this. Then, one, will I hear from heaven? Two, I will forgive their sins. Three, I will heal their land. Okay? It's a promise. Is it a promise, bargain, or law? It's the law. If we do as the Lord says, his word says this is going to happen. It isn't maybe, it isn't might, and God doesn't lie. Kings make an edit or a dictate. They don't lie. They have to fulfill that. And the Lord God's going to fulfill it as we come to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. Then he's going to do it. The word of the Lord, it's the law of the land. You have to get a revelation of that. The word of the Lord is the law of the land. If he says it's going to be so, it's going to be so, and the body of Christ has to get to that level of faith to have an understanding that when we go before the throne room and do the things that he tells us to do, he's going to give what he says he's going to give. Answered prayer is not abnormal, it's normal. Okay? It is not unusual, but to be expected when we ask in the right motives and not for selfish gain or selfish pleasure, when we pray in faith, believing. Well, Lord God, I'd like a $1 million home. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah, he'll give you things, he'll bless us, but that's not the purpose of our journey in the earth. We're here to advance the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Our prayers should be in alignment with advancing those things that God has created us to do. Now you ask, how may you be assured? It is of the constant relationship with God that produces answered prayers, or the law of the land. If he have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. That's Matthew 17, 20. Matthew 21, 22. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, and here's the caveat, believing ye shall receive. The words of Jesus, truly I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, and we know what happened to the fig tree when Jesus went past it, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believe. Here again, the words of Jesus, all things are possible to him who believes. The words of Jesus, therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted. Now, I'm not the word of faith mentality where, you know, you're asking for vehicles, you're asking for this, you're asking for that. But as you pray, asking for the things that advance the kingdom of God, the things in your life that you were created to do, and you asked in prayer for things to come to pass, Daddy God is going to respond. Because that's what his word says. He's going to do it. We are the body of Christ. We look at ourselves in the natural. We are spirit beings in a fleshly body. We have Jesus the Christ living in us. Not our faith in us, but his faith in us and operating through us if we believe. The secret, then, the heart of answered prayer, lies within the keys to each one of these verses. And this is the word you walk away with. Believe. Believe, believe, and it shall come to pass. You must believe that God is going to answer your prayer. It must be a prayer of faith. To believe that he can answer, that he is able, that he does possess the power to do it is not faith, believe it or not. And I'm going to repeat that again. To believe that he can answer prayer, that he is able, that he does possess the power to do it is not faith. To believe unhesitatingly that he will answer your prayer. That he will answer your prayer is faith. That he is on the verge of doing it, and that even now the answer is on the way. Okay? It doesn't mean it's the answer we want. It means the answer for your prayer, whatever that answer is on its way. And I've had to learn this, and I've been thinking about this with the issues with my daughter for many years. I pray in faith, believing that not my will is going to be done, but as I pray as a man of God with Christ Jesus in me, whenever I come before God in the secret places where I pray, he's going to answer my prayers, that his will is going to be done, and that's how I pray. It's not for my own gain. It's not for what I'd like, although I can raise those petitions before the Lord, the desires of my heart, and he'll respond accordingly. But it's what is your will for my daughter? What is your will for my job? What is your will for Harvester's Church? And the prayers will come forth when we ask, believing that Daddy God is going to step forward and he's going to do what his word says. It's the law of the land in prayer. The dictionary defines faith as trust in the honesty and truth of another. Answered prayer is not a miracle. It is a law. It will always be when the laws are kept and certain rules are observed. It is always to be expected. When the child of God prays and his prayers are answered, three things have happened. He has, one, prayed in faith, believing. Two, he has prayed specifically and thereby met the conditions of a lovingly heavenly Father. And three, Daddy responds. Have no illusions. He's going to respond to your prayer. Answers by a loving Father to a faithful child are not promises held out as rewards. Not miraculous, not strange or abnormal. They are the norm. That's the God we serve. They are the norm. This, as it should be, meet the conditions, pray, and expect that prayer will be answered. Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. The reason perhaps little is accomplished by some is that we expect so little. We expect so little. Most people aim at absolutely nothing in life and hit it right on the head. Perhaps we pray the same way. We believe that God can, but we do not believe that God will. When we became Christians, we trusted Christ and received him as our Savior. A spiritual union took place between us and the Son of God. At that moment, he was fused into our being, and we were no longer separate from him, but one with him. He is in us, and we in him, each a part of the other. Therefore, am I literally thinking his thoughts, walking his steps, doing his work, breathing his breath? Okay? Not only is his righteousness ours, but his power, attributes, virtues, and even his faith are ours too as we daily live, drawing on his substance. And I'm gathering some of this that I'm releasing today from a book that I read about the power of prayer. It's a little book, and I don't remember the gentleman's name. It's John. I don't remember his last name. But it hit me in the spirit, and I went to Scripture to make sure it aligned, because there's all sorts of books out there. But the true book, the true authority is the Bible. So if you pick up those books on the shelf and they seem good, start reading them, make sure it aligns up with the Word. And I know as I'm doing it yesterday and I was going before the Lord preparing this, again, it's always this wind hits me on the hands and I start writing and said, okay, this is your Word, Lord. And then I go back to the Scripture to look at it. It starts where we are. Believe that his faith, Christ Jesus' faith in you, is yours. Appropriate what you have, start from there, and believe in a big way in a big God, because God is big. Faith is not believing God can, it's believing God will. No prayer to be a perfect prayer of faith can contain the expression, if it be your will. Hear this. No prayer to a perfect prayer of faith can contain that expression. To pray it, if it be thy will, is quite different from thy will be done. Why? The secret is to discern the will of God ahead of time before you attempt to pray the prayer of faith. For if you do not know his will in a particular matter, you certainly cannot pray in faith for it to happen. But when you are confident of his will, offer the prayer of faith, and it will be answered. God beseeches his children, even reasons with them in Scripture, come often and boldly to him. He says, of the words concerning my hands, command ye me. Okay? We want to know what the will of God is. What an invitation. But if there's one amongst us who dares pray that way, we can when we know that what we pray is within the scope of his will. Often we begin our prayers boldly only to end it with, if it be your will. Okay? If it be your will. Does God desire people to get saved? Yes. So thy will be done. If I'm praying for someone to get saved, I know it's his will because his word says it's his will. Does God desire that people die at 20 years of age? No. The word in Scripture, Psalm says 70 years in the earth, more with strength. So as I pray for someone to get healed, I believe I'm praying God's will. Not if it is your will, but thy will be done. Now, maybe the answer is no, and I accept that as well because God knows more than me. But I still pray in faith because I know his will is that no one should what? Perish, right? He wants people to fulfill their plan, purpose, and destiny, right? And the list goes on and on of what God's will is. When Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done in the Garden of Gethsemane, was he trying to teach us to pray in faith? Or was he trying to find his Father's will? No, he was trying to submit his will to that of the Father. I don't think anybody would want to be nailed to the cross. Right? Painful. But he wanted to do the will of the Father. Okay? Answered prayer entails meeting these two factors. One, my faith to believe, and two, God's willingness to bestow. The prime concern becomes how may I know his will, and very quickly. You need to come to a place where you can say for better or worse, richer or poor, missionary, pastor, evangelist, big church, small church, I have no desire for my own life, but I'm perfectly willing to do the will of God, whatever that will is. We are spirit beings, temporarily in this place, our prayers out of a lineup with who we are, wherever we are. Don't look at your situation, look at who you are, a child of the living God. Embrace a holy sacrificial body. Embrace a holy sacrificial body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that is good and an acceptable, perfect will of God. Remember, our bodies are a temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have to separate ourselves from the worldview. We have to separate ourselves from the things that entangle people that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. We have to present ourselves. It's a condition in our prayer. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to keep it fit by eating properly, exercising. So he's talking about the physical tent, but he's also talking about a keen mind, an alert brain, a well-guarded tongue, and a consecrated ears and eyes to see that which brings glory to the Father. We are the body of Christ. We ought to look different than how the world looks. Be not conformed to this world, and you shall know the will of God. It is impossible for careless, worldly Christians to discern the keener things of God's will. Number four, you can know the will of God through the Word of God. God will not tell you anything different today than he has already told you in his Word. If the Bible is clear on a particular matter, it's clear. Okay? Now, he may bring it to remembrance again, but it's clear. If he says, do X, this is how you're to do, we ought to do it. We don't need some revelation from the throne room. It's already been revealed to us in the Word. You know the will of God. You can know five. You can know the will of God by the circumstances or open doors that come into your life. He'll send people in. He'll bring in circumstances that will tell you his will. Six, you may know the will of God by submission to the Holy Spirit within you. He guides and teaches you when you have yielded your heart to Christ by what? Faith. His purpose is to lead and teach you and him to do it. Seven, you will know the will of God when you know God. To know someone, you must spend time with that person. You can know all the finite mind will ever know about God, but you will never know God until you learn to spend time in prayer with God. I know a lot of Christians out there that can preach and teach and tell me all sorts of Bible scriptures, but they don't know God. Isn't that amazing? They talk a good talk, but they have no relationship. They don't know God, and it's a key to answered prayers. Power of God, power to know the will of God, power in positive prayer that brings definite results comes only through much time spent in prayer with God. Now, quickly, steps to prayer. Praise God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the first thing Jesus taught us? Our prayers are to start with praising God. So before I get down in the throne room, and I do this when I get on the bus now in the morning, I start praising God. Not out loud, no one wants to hear me sing on the bus, or reciting verses or saying something. So the first step, praise God. Brag, in other words, on the Lord. Praise God through the Psalms. Praise God through music. We start doing this when we come into church. We're worshiping and praising our God. We're hosting the presence of the Lord, and we can bring our prayers, supplications, and petitions onto him. Secondly, to give thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I did it this morning as I was praying. I started thanking God for all the blessings in my life. However small or insignificant they think, I thank him for our cars. I thank him for our house. I thank him for health. I thank him for a job. I thank him that all these years my daughter, who should have been dead, is still alive. I thank him for every single thing I can think of because he's worthy to be thanked. I praise him, I thank him, and then three, and which we did up here, I confess my sins. I want to be in right fellowship with the Lord. So whatever I'm harboring, whatever things that are in there, I ask the Lord, I confess them, and I have to truly repent of them, right? because I want to be in good relationship with the Lord. And four, then I ask God. Then my prayers come forth. Petition the things we require for ourselves and intercessions for the things we desire for other people. Desire and need, of course, are two separate things. You may be confident that something is necessary for the carrying out of His will in your life. God's willing to give it. Okay? If it's required to carry out what it is you're called to do, He's willing to give it. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, and hear these words, according to His will, He heareth us. It's from 1 John 5:14. But He goes on a step further and declares through the psalmist, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The fulfillment of these desires may be granted on this condition. If they are not mere whims to bring only momentary satisfaction or glory to us, but are rather the true desires to accomplish more good and live more fully on His glory, then it will be in accordance with His will. Only a careful searching of the heart can allow you to know the motivation that prompts your prayer. Then there is intercession, asking for spiritual things for others. You can always be assured that your prayer and faith in the will of God when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. His will is for justice, charity, patience, and good for all, for He is indeed a good God. Now let us lift up to the throne room of God this morning, Harvesters Church. I'm going to start out in a praise psalm, and it's from Psalms 111. It says, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my heart, in the company of the upright, those of you with us today and in the assembly. Great are the works of God. Daddy God, You are great. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is Your work. And Your righteousness endures forever. You have made Your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and compassionate. You have given food to those who fear You. You will remember Your covenant forever. You have made known to Your people the power of Your works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of Your hand are truth and justice. All Your precepts are sure. It's a sure thing. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. You have sent redemption to Your people. You have ordained Your covenant forever. Holy, Lord God, holy and awesome is Your name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endure forever. Father God, we thank You today for the blessings You have bestowed upon us, both physically and spiritually. We thank You for the blessings of a place to gather together to give You thanks and praise and to host Your presence and to soak in Your anointing. If you don't think the anointing of the Lord is in this building, I'm here to tell you it is. It's been here many years ago when I came. It's here right now. So we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for a godly pastor who brings forth Your word in truth for the edification of the body and the equipping of the saints. We thank You for men and women of God who are here who have heard Your voice and who have taken their place here to serve You in the many ways that such service is needed and offered up. From advisors to leaders to workers, those serving You in so many ways, not one better than the other, but all equal and doing their part to keep Your church moving forward, to keep the body functioning just as You so greatly designed. We thank You for the pantry here, Lord God, and the ability to minister to those in need. We thank You for those who volunteer to ensure the pantry meets the needs of the community and those who enter the doors here. We thank You, Lord God, for outreach ministry by Pastor Tim and chaplaincy, and in the many ways He reaches out to those in need to release the gospel message of Jesus the Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank You for the body here who likewise, in ways known and unknown, release the word as they walk in the earth. We truly don't know how we impact those around us as we walk out our individual lights as the light in Christ Jesus. We thank You that You have equipped and emboldened us all to be those lights to a lost and dying generation. We thank you for strength that the work of Jesus continues through this body even today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful building, this wonderful space to praise you and worship you. We thank you that we have a safe place to sing praises to your name and to both hear and release your word. We thank you for Sunday school space and office space and meeting space. We thank you for a sound system and instruments and all the blessings bestowed upon us that gives opportunity to praise and worship you and host your presence and be edified and raised up to advance your kingdom. We thank you for the members, although small, but mighty in unity. Hear me closely, mighty in unity and one accord. We thank you that you bring to remembrance that with Jesus, he accomplished much with only 12 disciples. And it's not by the numbers with you, but rather wherever two or more are gathered in your name. We've got more than two here gathered in his name. His will is going to be done. We desire relationship with you, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. We desire fellowship with you, and where sin is affecting that fellowship, we ask your forgiveness and your strength to overcome in these areas, and that it would be that we be strengthened to pick up our cross daily and truly follow you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for fellowship, and thank you for who you are and that you take care of your own. Now today, Lord God, we beseech you to begin to bestow upon this body wisdom and knowledge concerning Harvester's Church. Your word said if we ask in faith, we shall receive. What, Lord, is your intent for this body going forward? What is the role of Harvester's Church today? Where is this body being positioned in terms of fellowship and in terms of advancing the kingdom of God, Lord? We ask for clarity, true divine revelation. We ask for divine insight. We ask, Lord, that we would not be moving in our own desires, but that our actions are in obedience to your will concerning this place. So much prophecy over this church in years past, Lord. Its very name implying hosting the harvest. Where do we stand before you today? We are a small, Lord, in numbers, but we have the heart of fellowship and the anointing of your presence. Lord, what is your vision? What is your purpose for this body going forward? Lord, we ask today for revelation and clarity. If we are moving in a direction other than your will, please reveal the same to this body. If we are moving according to your will, please help us to understand the plan, purpose, and destiny of this church and how we as a body can come into alignment with the same. Lord, there are things we should be doing. Are there things we should be doing that we are currently not doing? Are there people out there, your children, whom this church is meant to minister to? If so, how are we to draw them in? How shall we prepare for the same? How is it that we should evangelize? Is there giftings here that we are not tapping into? Lord, reveal these things to us. Lord, we petition you to give us the necessary wisdom and understanding to begin to move in the direction you and you alone want us to move in, whatever that direction may be. Not our will, Lord, but your will be done. Lord, I lift Pastor Tim up to you, a good and faithful servant. Please strengthen him in the days that lie ahead. Give him insight and understanding as to the work you have yet before him. Give him, we pray, encouragement as your servant of the word. Reveal to him the vision you have for this body and for Harvester's Church. Lord, we pray truth and we pray revelation. Whatever that truth and revelation is. Father God, we desire that Pastor Tim is positioned by you to advance your kingdom according to your vision and yours alone. And if the path now before him is not yours, please position him accordingly and bring revelation regarding the same. Lord, he continues to desire to serve you and to minister to your people. How will that play out, Lord? I ask you today, Lord, how will that play out in this place? Please open his spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to the revelation in this regard. Father God, we know your will is advancement of your kingdom. We know that this is particularly the case in the here and now as the world becomes increasingly dark. We have a body of believers here, Lord, who want to partner with you. We pray for your instruction, your insight, Lord God, your wisdom and your understanding. What is our role, Lord God? What is the role of Harvester's Church going forward? I ask for revelation. I ask for divine impartation. I ask that you raise up, Father God, your vision for this church, and you implant it in the people that are here today. It doesn't just have to be the pastor. It doesn't just have to be me. It needs to be the body coming together and saying, Lord, what do you have for this church? What was the purpose for this church to be birthed? And where is this church going now to advance your kingdom in the earth, Lord God? It's not a mistake that we're here today as the body. We didn't come together collectively by accident. You brought us together, Lord God. You brought these very people together because of their giftings, because of their callings, because of their desire. Lord God, what are you going to do with this in this day, in this hour, for this church? It's our desire to have wisdom, to have understanding, to have knowledge about what's to go forth. Lord God, you want to advance your kingdom. We're willing servants to advance it, Lord God. How do you want to do it in this hour? How do you want Harvester's Church to go forward, Lord God? We ask for that wisdom. We expect it to come forth because we're obedient to receive it, because we're asking in faith. In faith, believing that something is going to happen. Something's going to shake up. No longer just going as things are, Father God, but doing what you're calling us to do. We are your people. We are the church of Jesus Christ. What is it you want Harvester's Church to accomplish in this hour? We call it forth in the name of Jesus. For gifts yet untapped in the body, we pray that you prepare them to release those gifts for the advancement of the kingdom. I pray bold warriors for the Lord, Lord God, right here in this building. I pray equip the workers, Lord. I pray according to your will, a church with anointing and power, not just words. Not just words released, but words and gifts released with power, with signs, miracles, and wonders following. Not plain church, but truly being the church of Jesus Christ in this dark time. Lord, what is in store for Harvester's Church? Lord, what is your desire? What is your plan? We pray that you reveal it to this body today and in the coming days, what you have in store and how we fit into your plan. We thank you for prayers answered. We believe that you are going to answer our prayers because your word said if we pray in faith, believing, we're going to receive. We're no longer just going to chart a course on our own accord, but Lord God, we're going to chart it with your divine impartation and revelations for Harvester's Church. We thank you. We thank you for prayers answers. We thank you that your will and not our will be done. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.